You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, it's everyone's favorite swimsuit model, Drew Gasparini, here with another episode of Now We're Talking, the podcast that looks a lot shorter in person. I loved recording today's episode because I could not stop laughing with our guest. He is a rising star, someone I've known for a while and I've had the great privilege of working with. He's been seen on stage in Dear Evan Hansen, Alice by Heart, and Girl from the North Country. He starred in the Apple Plus series Little Voice. He can be seen in the upcoming Dear Evan Hansen movie, and if you're a fan of mine, you know him from his performance as Craig Gilner in the concert of my adaptation of It's Kind of a Funny Story, and also my album, We Aren't Kids Anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, now we're talking with Colton Ryan.
Joe Rogan beats women. Anyway, that's where I wanted to start recording.
If you'd only heard the things I just said about Joe Rogan and beating women.
Okay, we're recording now. I'm here with one of my favorite MFs on the entire planet. Sorry for the salty letters. It is Colton Ryan here with us today, looking better than ever. You look amazing, by the way.
Thank you. It's all light and makeup.
No. Yo, you're a full beat right now?
No, it's all light.
Just light. Okay. Where are you right now? Are you in your apartment?
No, I'm in a house.
Did you buy a house?
God, I wish.
Actually, I wish too.
That is on the horizon, though.
You're going to buy a house.
I'm hoping to flock back to New York by the new year. Okay, actually, I'm going to use this opportunity as a platform. If anyone is selling a house by owner, not by realtor, please message COL. No, I'm just kidding.
This is a real question. Do you know what that means? Do you know what any of that means, what you just said? Because that is so far over my head.
Right. And that's why you had me on today. And I appreciate the platform.
We're here to talk real estate. Yeah.
I've learned a lot in the past 6 months. Mm-hmm. And like anyone who only knows 6 months worth of information, I'm going to annoyingly tell you about it. And by owner means that the owner of the house has the cojones to think, oh, this isn't difficult. We just shake hands. They give me a big pile of cash in a bag, just like Scrooge McDuck. I dive into it once it's done as a ceremony. And then they take the house and do whatever they want with it. And I leave.
That's in the circumstance of you being the owner. That's what
if you're the owner selling, you're taking that destiny and you're saying like, I probably don't need to understand contract negotiation or.
Yeah, it sounds like whoever the owners are kind of a bunch of suckers. And the people who are buying from the owners are basically taking advantage of people who have no business getting involved in real estate in the first place.
I want to be clear that everything you said is right, but only under the guise of capitalism and them convincing us that it's that way around rather than the other. Because you should. I should be able to walk up to a house and someone go, are you selling this? And they're like, yeah. And it should be like Yu-Gi-Oh cards. I should be like $20 for that Blue Eyes White Dragon. And they're like, done, dude. Done.
Okay.
Well, 25 actually.
Done. We just lost all of our listeners with that reference.
You obviously don't understand the internet, Drew.
You are right. I really don't. Colton, I just got on TikTok and I'm scared to death. I don't know what is happening.
I love your energy on it though. I really do.
Are you watching me? Do you follow what I do on TikTok?
Yeah, if I don't deliberately follow, which I will after this if I don't, but I think I do. Hmm. And then if I don't, you come up with my algorithm quite often.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, I'm glad that you're following. I haven't followed one other person. I just had Amber Ardolino on yesterday, and she was like, oh, wow, I can't wait to follow you. And I was like, my whole thing is not following anybody, so don't expect.
I don't know Amber, and I'm not gonna call her out except for I will in this forum. Has she followed you?
No, I still haven't seen a follow. So she hasn't even lived up to her word. I'm really disappointed. It's been a full 24-hour cycle since she said this. And
when this airs, she may be canceled.
Yeah, no. Amber, if you're listening, and I know that you are.
I know.
You and I are done. That's it.
Amber,
no friendship.
Amber, I don't know you, but I don't fuck with people who fuck with my friends, okay?
That's my favorite kind of friend, is someone who is like violently protective.
Violently loyal. Is like, yes. I've acquired a certain set of skills over the years.
Yeah, blindly loyal and has the skill set of an assassin, apparently. I want to get back to what I said right at the beginning of this, which is, you look amazing. So I'm going to ask an obnoxious question.
Okay. I'm going to accept that comment, by the way. Thank you. I'm working on that, accepting.
You should accept, because I think when people talk to you, most of the things coming out of their mouth are going to be compliments just because of the person you are and the talent you have. How do you like that? Anyway,
I can't accept that. I can't accept that.
That's fine. That was a big one. That was an overshoot. You're just getting used to this, so I don't expect you to accept that one. But you look, I'm going to go with an old cliche. Here's an old trope. You ready? Mm-hmm. You're glowing, baby. You're glowing. And it is not just the light. You look happy. You look well slept. You look well rested. What is going on in your life right now? Like, immediately. I don't want to talk projects. We all know you're in the movie. We all know you got the Broadway life. We all know who. Google Colton Ryan if you don't know all that shit. We're not talking about any of that shit today. I just want to know why you're so fucking happy.
This is actually genuinely funny timing wise that you're asking this. Also, I just want to say the forum that is an audio podcast, I just love the idea that you're talking to me and I have like crow's feet and like 14 lines on my forehead. And you're like, you look
amazing.
If I could describe to this audience the way you just fucking look. Oh my God. Because you really oversold it there. So now the people are going to be like, that ain't real.
Yeah, well, Google him. Then maybe you'll see. Maybe you'll see how right I am. He looks like that all the time. Just Google his ass.
I'll say two things. Yeah. One, timing-wise, it's very funny you asked this because I genuinely have no sleep right now. Because I'm going to flip and be the David Letterman for a minute and you be the guest that needs no introduction.
Okay.
You just got a new puppy. So did I.
Oh, wow. Yes. Okay. So that explains the no sleep. But
I don't know about you, but it is the greatest contraception I have ever had. And I've taken the trials for male birth control. So,
wow. So, are you what you're saying is getting a second dog has convinced you to not have kids? That's all.
Not right now. I genuinely was getting to that point where I was like, I'm 25. By conservative measure, I should have kids by now. I should have.
Wow, you really had that thought? How old hat of you? Well, you're from Kentucky. I don't know how you all think down there.
We don't think down here. We just have babies at 22.
Colton, why do I always think that that's how everybody from Kentucky talks?
Well, I mean, if you saw the electoral map as of last week, you could make a fine. No, I'm not going to shit. I love my fucking home. But yeah, it's a mixed bag.
Yeah, shout out to Kentucky. We're not shitting on Kentucky.
I have it literally. It's funny. It's the same sort of Gemini. Like, I love it and hate it so bad because I have it literally. This is so obnoxious. You can see this. I have it tattooed on my wrist, the actual state itself.
Oh, yes, sir. I see.
Because I made a mistake a year ago. And at the same time, I'm also like, so I love it. I carry it everywhere I go. It's in everything I do.
Yeah, but you can't avoid it.
Exactly. But at the same time, I'm like, hey, you guys know that like our slogan is we bleed blue, and that could not be farther from the fucking truth.
That's hysterical to me, having just watched the last 2 weeks.
It was like everyone was like saying like, oh, it's gonna, you know, old systems, places like Kentucky, it's gonna take forever to count them. And it was like 3% reporting goes to Trump. It's like, don't need to count a single more vote. We are calling it at 1.5% reporting.
We're calling it. That's hysterical. Oh my God. Did you feel bad for those guys on the news? I mean, just watching shit and just.
It was really thrilling. And I did feel bad for. I also think that, in some ways, it's like we used to be with like Hell Week at musical theater school or just in high school.
Yeah.
So, like, the entire time you're like, oh my God, I hate this. I hate that we're going to like get a Subway on the break. But like at the same time, you fucking live for it.
By the way, speaking of Subway, the sandwich establishment.
Please tell me you already have sponsored posts and you have, this is the
50 No. That would have been so brilliant to be like, I would just like to say $5 foot long if you order anything off of the scene menu at
you
the
like
restaurant.
Sleep. So does Colton. So does Casper. Casper Pillows.
This whole podcast could be us trying to attain people to sponsor this show. I don't have any. Cobra and I tried once, and I think we just landed on Oxygen. That's where we are
honestly,
now.
Honestly, in a polarizing time, It's a great one.
I believe there are some people in this country, based on what we just seen, that do not believe oxygen is an actual thing. I actually think there are people who are so blind to science mm-hmm. existing that they go, ah, oxygen's not a thing. It's just air.
What the fuck is oxygen?
Oh my gosh.
Please cut that from the record.
No, this is all good. It doesn't matter. No one else is listening at this point. It's literally just the two of us talking.
Christ, are they going to get to anything substantial?
We totally even skipped the thing that we began talking about. And this is why I love talking to you. You and I could tangent all day and like riff bits. And like, I always have a good time when I talk to you. But we were talking about how glowing you look. You look amazing. And you're saying you're not sleeping because you got a new puppy. Tell us a bit about the puppy.
Okay. So his name is Taz.
Yes.
It's sweet because my when I was growing up, my mom used to call me Taz. She used because I'd get that like energy around the house.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Would you like walk through a wall and there would be a shape of you in
a tornado
the wall?
Underneath where my legs were?
Exactly. There's no walking. It's just this weird constant tornado.
And I'm somehow like benevolent but terrifying. I'm like, and everyone's like, oh, Taz, you.
But he's also adorable at the same time.
And
but there's a good question about the Tasmanian devil. How did that concept work where there was a horizontal spiral, like a tornado as his legs? Does that mean like his bottom half was vapor when he started running? How does that scientifically add up at all? It's not even going in the same direction as his legs.
Well, first off, I love that you use the descriptive word horizontal for the tornado.
I couldn't figure out
legs.
Thank you.
I'm imagining that of just like it going as far as the horizon. No, it's funny you say that because he has legs. I mean, he'll stop and he stands there.
Oh yeah, we've seen him stand there, but then what the fuck happens when he starts running? It's kind of like Sonic the Hedgehog. Right. When he starts spinning, he's not even the thing anymore. The idea is he's going so fast that you can't see the limbs or anything. I just think it's unhealthy for kids to be brought up in a world where you think if you're running so fast, your legs disappear.
Heroes like Sonic the Hedgehog, who's blue, by the way.
Yeah, he's blue. That doesn't make any goddamn sense. Really. It makes no goddamn sense. Sega Genesis, if you're listening, another sponsor, by the way, that's no longer going to sponsor the show.
I love that you have a sponsor, but it's a product you don't totally support.
I love it. Pier 1 Imports. Everybody can get some cheap shit furniture there. They want to say they're as good as West Elm, but let's be real. I wouldn't buy a couch. Thanks for sponsoring.
I'm going to segue you from this because I don't want you getting a cease and desist.
Oh, you're right. Sorry. Is there an app that exists? It's like Yelp for public restrooms. It should be called the Poo Review. Go with me on this. Why doesn't that exist? And also, does it exist?
I think that the big capital, like capital T them, like the corporate overlords, I think they won't let that happen because part of New York, the sort of oppressive nature is not telling people anywhere they can pee. I actually mean that. Like the amount of times that I've had to run home, like just doing the poot scoot, like down, like my apartment is like 3 seconds from the train. It could not be any farther. Mm-hmm. When I got it, I've been holding it from the time I've been on the A-Tray entrance at 42nd Street to getting off.
Absolutely. Oh, I have taken a piss on my front stoop because I wasn't going to make it inside and up to my place.
I had to pee. And you were like, it really sounded like you were like, I have pissed on my face so many, if I had a nickel.
If I had a nickel, I'd have at least 26 nickels. I don't know what that adds up to, but I know the amount of times I've had piss on my face. This is why I love having Broadway people and not talking about any Broadway related things. We are literally talking about piss on our face and pooping in New York City. Let's go to your skin. You have a routine.
I used to, for like last year, I was really into like being like, I'm all natural. And I would really use the same tin of coconut oil all over my entire body. And it was great. I loved it.
It's just like regular run-of-the-mill, like body oil, like any moisturizing kind of thing. It's not specific for the face.
I specifically really liked the Dr. Bronner's. Like there was a coconut oil. Actually, but I've been recently led astray about Dr. Bronner's. Oh, Jesus Christ, we can't stop referencing product.
It's another sponsor that just left the show. Absolutely. But God, here we go. Dr. Bronner's, we're sorry.
I will say this. Since TikTok's emergence in my life, I didn't realize that all natural didn't totally mean like good. It wasn't equivalent. or synonymous. And so I met this guy. His name is Hiram. I don't know if you know Skincare by Hiram on TikTok, but he like opened up my world to CeraVe, which is another specific sponsored product.
I use that. I'm dead serious. I hope they are a sponsor. I love their AM PM moisturizers.
That's what I had gotten onto because I didn't know that there was a difference of like, I was really into the whole like, oh, I only wash my face once a day thing, which I still kind of stick to.
Yeah.
I'll just like water. God, this is so boring.
Doesn't matter. We lost the listeners minutes ago. Just keep going with it.
Should I just ASMR the whole rest?
Yeah, actually, that'd be great.
When I wake up. And instead of using cleanser twice a day, I will just do a nice, a water massage.
Whoa. Okay, well, if that didn't get the listeners hard as ice, just listening to that.
But I also imagined me saying all that, and I was just imagining that one meme of Adam Sandler going like, oh shit, I'm gonna come.
Oh my God, wait, what? I don't know this meme. Do you see what I mean? I don't know anything about the fucking internet. What is this Adam Sandler
meme? You see Uncut Gems? Yes. There's a moment in there where he gets the opal. It's like a huge thing. He finally like, he's like, Kevin G, stay there. Don't fucking move. And he's like and it's like a disaster where he's like trying to keep the NBA guys in his diamond store. And he goes in the back.
Yeah.
It's like so thrilling. And he opens up the opal and he just goes, oh shit, I'm gonna come. And then they were like, yeah, you're not getting an Oscar nom.
It was immediately after that line that everybody who was voting made their decision. Adam Sandler is not going to be nominated.
Deserved one, but that line I know must have done him in.
He was great. That whole movie stressed me out to the point that, like, I think for weeks after seeing it, I had the most insane dreams. Mm-hmm. Like, I could not, like, get a solid night's rest because that movie was insane.
I was squirming, and I'm not a big, like, squirmer when I watch the... I'm not a big squirmer when I watch movies, but this one really like just like took me to the limit. And I'll segue actually right now. I'll bring you back to Broadway. Okay, I'll do this.
We don't even have to get to Broadway. I'd rather get back to the bathrooms in New York City.
Yeah, because I got more to say about that. Yeah. the Broadway thing is that actually the best moment of the movie for me was when Idina Menzel says to him, "You know, you're really fucking annoying." Like that to me was like, oh, thank God someone gets me in this. Oh, like that was like the give it to the audience. Like the movie put you through the ringer to be like, hey, this is the hero. He is fucking annoying.
So you think it was the payoff was that Idina Menzel, first of all, I think it's great that it was Idina Menzel.
She was great in it.
That was a surprise to me. She was great. She was amazing. How about that jawline? She's got a fucking
also, like,
jawline.
The whole scene was so great. That whole section, like she was so great to the movie, but like this, when she puts on like the like bat mitzvah dress again, and then she's like, and like all the women come up after she pretty much just like, cause he's like, take me back. And that's when she says it. And like my theater, like uproared with applause. Cause it was
really,
it was like, fuck this dude. They really put us through it.
I was seeing this. I imagine someone like my father, for example, watching this movie and then going, oh, that's the girl from Wicked and from Frozen. And then by the time the credits roll, his complaint is that, wow, why didn't she sing? You know what I mean? Like, he would have missed the point completely. I feel like he would have been like, where's all the singing? If she's in it, where's all the singing?
Maybe I misread the room, and whenever they were applauding, it was actually entrance applause. It was for the breadth of work that Idina Menzel has done on the stage. And they were stopping the whole movie to applaud the fact of what she's given us in the theater.
Originally, I think that role was meant to be played by Mandy Patinkin, but he turned it down and it went to Idina Menzel. Speaking of staged things and TikTok, might I add, you and I, we go back a little bit now. We've known each other for a number of years, and we met doing a little thing that has gotten the attention of all the theater nerds that ever there were. And I'm always grateful for that. It's called It's Kind of a Funny Story. We met doing that concert of that.
Did you hear that? People are just like,
no, you have a, that's your pet owl, Archimedes.
Jesus, I'm working. Daddy's working.
He'll feed you a mouse after this, Archimedes.
You stole those letters you have to deliver.
Yeah, I forgot that Archimedes was a messenger.
Virtual school is hard as a parent. Oh my God.
Oh, is he doing Zoom classes?
And he's not doing Archimedes. He just won't do his homework. It's upsetting.
And we just lost my next sponsor, which is Owls. The bird of prey. That's yes. Nighttime bird owls are no longer a sponsor of this show. But I wanted to say, have you noticed on TikTok it's here and there, but I'm always amazed when I see it. There's a lot of, it's kind of a funny story, nerddom. Yeah. I get tagged in all kinds of shit on TikTok, and I'm brand new to TikTok, but literally like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people just singing along to the YouTube videos and wishing they were you for a minute. Do you run across people who know you from that, even though you've done all these other amazing
things? Yeah, actually, someone reminded me of this. Actually, this past Sunday, I did like a masterclass thing, and one of the questions was what was it like to play Craig?
And what did you say? It was fleeting and it lasted an hour?
Truly still haunts me to this day. As you just fucking triggered me. Thanks. It's funny. Actually, as you're saying this now about us meeting and how we're... I'm just realizing now that I had to audition to be your friend.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That is true. Like most of my friends, just so you know. That's not weird. That's
what would have happened if I didn't get the job?
I would have said, I would have rocked right up to you and said, hey, man, tough shit, and then turned around and walked away, just like I do everybody else who didn't make the cut as my friend.
Would you do me a solid at least to be like, good tape?
Maybe. Actually, I would have because you got the part. Your tape was amazing. We were all very impressed.
I can leave now. That was what I was here for.
That's the end of the podcast. Thanks, Archimedes. And thanks,
I need
Colton.
Validation. no, it's funny you say that because I was talking about it with them and I was like, it's funny because of course, like you and I now have collaborated on a number of things. One specifically in print of like, well, you know, we have an album and like,
yeah, that's right. We aren't kids anymore.
And, we aren't kids anymore is actually is an album that you can find on Spotify, Apple Music.
And the next album is going to be just Colton and I, and it's called We Aren't Friends Anymore. And it's just the sad demise of our friendship because even though the audition was great, we couldn't keep it together in the room.
It's not originals. By the way. It's actually just like very dramatic music theater covers.
Yeah, it's what's his name? Frank Wildhorn wrote the score for the sequel to
You Should Hear My rendition of Losing My Mind from Follies.
Let's go right
it's
now.
It's like I'm losing my mind.
And that, kids, is how you book being Drew Gasparini's friend. You got to sing like that. That's exactly what it
actually,
is.
Actually, everything I've ever sang is actually a lie. That's my authentic voice. And
that's your real voice?
I'm glad to use this platform yet again. To introduce something else, the real me. It's like I'm losing my mind.
That sounded exactly like, I'm gonna give you exactly the picture I just saw in my mind with that tone.
Close your
voice.
Eyes. Yeah.
So you ready? Okay. Here it is. Close your eyes and imagine this guy. This guy's name starts with a T. I don't know. We're not gonna decide
Trevor?
On that, but it starts with a T.
Trevor.
Sure, Trevor sounds good. Trevor is married. Trevor has two kids. Trevor works as a car salesman, but he always wanted to do Broadway. But he does community theater, but he books all the leads. So he feels like he kind of made it because he's always playing the lead part in those community adult shows. And that's the voice he sings with. And you know what? For the standards of Podunk, wherever the fuck USA, it's a darn good voice.
The community loves him.
100%. Colton, you and I have completely lost our minds. I want you to know that.
Is this usable?
Is
this usable? Do we
have
to reschedule?
This is not only usable. I'm going to go ahead. No. I'm going to go on a limb here and say this is the best episode yet. I haven't listened back to the others, but I'll let you know if it really is. But let's continue talking about you for a minute, because that's really what this is. This whole thing, the reason I have this podcast,
why am
by
I
way,
here?
If I haven't
oh my
made it,
God. Finally.
I'll tell you. Because I wanted to see your beautiful face, but also because I have these wonderful friends. They're all within the industry, and I think you understand when you're friends with someone in the industry you work in, a lot of the conversation is just industry talk. But I realize I truly don't know a whole bunch about my friends at all. Even the ones I've known for like 10 years, I've talked to, I had an episode with Andrew Kober and he's talking about his dad and there's shit I had no idea. I'm on the brink of tears talking to this guy. F. Michael, same thing. I know, it's amazing. It's really just to get to know you. It's a selfish platform. I might not even air any of these. I'm just going to listen quietly in my little bedroom. That'd be amazing if I was for years just secretly recording every conversation we ever had.
I genuinely know someone who's done that. I would call him out in this form because I love him to death, and I've called him out for doing this before. Akeem Campbell, I swear to God, used to. I love him so much. He's gonna die when I. he literally used, he would record because he would genuinely, he was like, we're
without anyone's consent. No, he would
just
be like
that. It was, and actually it was funny in retrospect when he would explain it, because afterwards we found out, we were like, Akeem, what are you doing? And he was like, we are all genuinely so funny, but we are not funny when we try. So I had to catch it. I gotta know what the material is.
You know what? The morons tried that once. We like brought a, we brought, someone recorded us at a table at a bar. It was either Alex or Kober, because we realized how funny we were. We would crack each other up. But then when we knew there was a recording device plus alcohol, it really became sad attempts at laughter. And then even worse, with more alcohol, the conversation really took some depressing turns, like really dark, really sad.
Was the depressing turn that you actually found out that you never were funny and actually?
No, I found out that they didn't even look at my audition tape to be their friends. It was just like an absolute fluke. So I felt so.
Wait a
useless.
Second, you guys all know my rendition of Losing My Mind. You saw my tape. You know, to be friends.
Yeah. What do you mean you haven't seen that yet? I sent it to you 4 years ago.
Stop it. You guys, you saw it. You know what I'm talking about.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Colton, tell me about, you're from Kentucky. Yep. You and I have talked about this before, and it was when we were getting to know each other and you were at my apartment. And I'm going to say this out loud and then we're going to get right back to you, because I just think the story is so funny. You came over to rehearse.
Oh God,
and we rehearsed something. I love this story. I won't make you look bad. I'll make myself look horrible though. So I'm a casual dude. And if people are coming to my place for a rehearsal, I'm going to offer a beverage, a drink, a beer. And hey, if they want to go down that path, we'll roll up a little, jazz cigarette.
A sweet little pearl.
A little bit of that. A jazz cabbage. So I was talking jazz to you and cabbage. I was about ready to light up this cotton candy that I put together. And right as I did, my doorman calls up and is like, your next person is here to rehearse or to come up and work with you. And I was like, oh, fuck. I totally forgot that it was like an 11-year-old girl too, coming up with her mom. So I was opening the windows and trying to air out all the smoke. And you were like, I'm going to go. But this was chill. Anyway, so it was.
Was I high? I think I was too.
You may have taken a hit, but any of you fans out there listening, don't judge Colton. And
oh,
I.
They can't.
No,
they
you didn't freak out.
They can't judge us.
No, why? How dare they? If they do, us. No, I bet they do way worse.
For
shit.
Smoking that reefer, smoking that gun,
and we just lost another sponsor.
This actually, like, really, really easily segues. into a PSA, like one of those old 50s ones about not smoking weed. It's like, did you hear how incoherent those two fucks were for that entire episode? That's what happens to your brain on reefer.
Dude, those PSAs from like back in the day were so insane. They were like, if you ever look at marijuana, your eyeballs will melt out of your skull and you'll die. Plus every girl you've ever known will be pregnant.
That's the thing. They're still using the same techniques. They're like, people who are socialists will eat your babies. And they're like, oh my God, please. No socialism.
No socialism. Socialism sounds scary. Nope. And then when you spell out what it is, you're like, man, that doesn't sound so
like,
bad.
And then they're like, They're like, elect this person who hates fucking commies and will give more money to the government-funded police.
It's a perfect time to mention our sponsor, the police. That is not Colton's brand. That's totally off-brand. But let's go back to it being Subway sandwiches. Thank you, Subway sandwiches. Never mind. They used to be the spokesperson is now a pedophile in jail. Who else could we use? Let's go back to socialism. We are sponsored by socialism. Colton Ryan is here talking to us.
I am sponsoring it.
And I'm going to start recording now. All right. Now the podcast has started. Hey, sorry to interrupt, you sexy little buttheads, but I wanted to remind you to follow our guest on social medias. All of them, in fact. You can find Colton on Twitter and Instagram at Colton the Wizard. Yes, that is the handle he chose. I'm just going to take a minute to sit there and marinate on the fact that he chose Colton the Wizard as his social media handle. Hey, I like to play pretend that I'm a wizard as well, so that was a bold choice, but I'm with it. Go follow Colton on Instagram and Twitter and find him on TikTok. You know, you're young. You know how the internet works. I want to talk about your childhood a bit, because everybody who ends up where they are started with who they used to be. And I want to see kind of what your journey was. You right out of the gate of college, I mean, you got the gig everybody your age really wanted, which is Dear Evan Hansen. You played that part for 2 weeks, I believe, of straight when Ben Platt was gone.
I love that mythology. Like, that's not true, but yeah.
Is that not right? But wasn't there a chunk of time?
1 week. One week ago.
No, on this podcast is 2 weeks. I think you're.
It was 1 month.
It was a 9-year contract that you did a great job. You won all the Tonys, and now you're in the movie, which is really exciting. I don't want to talk about that. People can Google that shit and check it out when it comes out. But I want to talk about who you were leading up to your road to Broadway, to movies, to the success that you've had, the TV show. You've really done everything one could possibly want to do in just the span of a few short years. How did you get to this amazing level of success? What was your childhood like?
Well, thank you, first off. Remember, I'm accepting.
Yeah, my man.
Yes. Well, I guess it's not really about my childhood. It's more about the long con. You ever seen the movie The McMillions? It's just like that. I have scammed and cheated my way through the past three. And here's my grand reveal. No, okay.
We have not said one serious thing on this podcast for 37 minutes we've been recording.
I can't. Okay. I'll get serious. I'll get serious. When I was 11, my dad died. No.
Oh my God. Let's go back to the toilets in New York City.
Oh my God. Okay. Okay. Actually cut all right. That. Actually go cut ahead. All that. That I'm going to put it. Yeah. Cut all that.
Consider it cut. Wink, wink.
Okay. So I grew up in Kentucky. I don't know how any of that can, I'm still trying to figure out how the path connects. But I will say, the where it doesn't connect is what still makes me incredibly, thankful and still kind of in shock or like flabbergasted. Like, it's weird to me that, cause think about it, like when you and I met, right? And we did the show at 54, it was like,
yeah,
I mean that to me, I would have been set with that. I was like, I'm in this Broadway show. I'm working on new material. No one's ever asked me to work on that alone. That dream alone was achieved. Like it was a dream I never even had. I grew up doing like Oliver and like Willy Wonka and like things like that, you know, like any other kid at a place that doesn't have like other things. Like we didn't have film sets where I grew up, you know, things like that.
Right.
So the path I saw, or that could maybe be achieved, at least by some people who came from the same area as me or things like that, was that I might make it to Broadway one day. And like, that would be like, oh my God, like full stop. Like that's all. That's all you need. And
yeah.
And then when that happened, I was like, oh my. And I was really, I'm glad, because what I'm trying to say is like with the path I was on, or that I still am on, it all still feels incredibly like, it's surprising, because when I was there, I was like, full stop. This is great. I can say I did it. And then when you asked me to be a part of that, I was like, I never even put the dots together that like at some point someone had to have written Rent. Like, you know what I mean? Like, talk about the education system. No, I'm just kidding. I had a great education, but like, but I genuinely was like, someone had to write that, and someone had to like work on that. I just, you know, because like, where I'm from, it's like the most access you have is like, you know, either like some that's on PBS or like, or, you know, buying a play that's probably like won a Pulitzer, you know, something that has to be of a huge lineage. You don't get like subculture theater or like workshop theater. You don't understand what that concept is.
Right. There's a whole missing part of the process and most other parts outside of,
yeah. As you know, it's like, there's a whole other swath of like, it's kind of like when you're growing up in theater and they're like, don't fall in love with the performance, fall in love with the rehearsal. And you realize that you're like, oh my, your life as a theater artist, your life is a rehearsal. Like that is the job, is like the years and years, you know, it just like my perspective just kept changing and evolving. Cause it was like, cause I didn't have any of that. I didn't have any sort of, I had role models, but they were all, unobtainable and, yeah, they were all unobtainable.
Like role models that you looked up to, but were not necessarily part of your immediate life.
Right.
You know, like that's what you mean? Who are some of those role models? Like, give me an example.
Like, when I was growing up, like in my area, this is crazy. Cause the best example we had was Laura Bell Bundy. And I still haven't met her this day. And it, like, I really wish this is my way to be like, hey,
you will. She's listening. I guarantee.
Let's DM. but like, she's from like my area, genuinely, like not even just like in the state, like she's from my area doing high school, same kind of high school productions as like down the road. You know what I mean? And there's a huge lineage in Broadway history. And that to me was like, wow, I guess that's best case scenario. And then there was a bunch of other incredible theater artists from the area who'd like, you know, were like a replacement in a show or like Will Chase is from my area. When I found that out, that like blew my brain up. He's from Kentucky.
No shit.
So I was like, holy hell, like it is possible. But I also didn't think that anything beyond it was possible, if that makes sense. Like
when you say that, you're referring to like the TV and the movies and things outside of Broadway.
Right. I mean, I grew up and I was like also like tubby as fuck and like and I just thought I was, you know, I had like a long time struggle with like the image of myself. I thought I was very ugly and like, and for all those reasons, you know, there was a lot of harm in that. I really should have loved myself, but also just from a standpoint of like where I viewed myself, I was like, I'm not gonna be on TV. I'm not gonna be on film. And for that reason, it just was never even a dream. Like I didn't even I didn't even fathom that sort of thing. So when it first happened, I still thought, I was like, well, this is a fluke. I can't believe it. I'm so excited. And it's like a dream that I never had. That's now, being realized.
Yeah. In spades, by the way, it's amazing to watch it happen for you. And I think when I came to your apartment and you and I, again, every time we're seeing each other, we're rehearsing, but we're palling around, we're having a good time. But we were talking about, you had just booked, the Sarah Bareilles show,
Little Voice,
if you're from where I'm from. San Francisco Bay Area. Anyway,
Orange County.
Wait,
what is the county?
It's hearing. I'm not from Orange County.
I've never been to California. Talk about like, oh my god, I'm really like making myself sound so.
Yeah, you're in movies and TV, and you've never been to California. That's
god,
I
just dreamed of the movies, and we didn't have any shoes, and I never been to California. And
it's nothing but sunshine and rainbows out here, my friend. It's nothing but sunshine and rainbows and vineyards.
And socialism.
They'll take your library card. But we were sitting around, and we were just kind of talking about what we're working on currently, and you just found this out, and you were so excited about it.
Like days prior, right?
And I gotta say, man, the way that you absorb good news and the way that you showcase the resume that you have is so without ego. It is with such grace. You do such a good job of just kind of saying, oh my, like there's a gratefulness behind every word you say in terms of what you're working on. And it's so refreshing because especially people who are younger, your age or younger, they don't have a grasp of how grateful they need to be, even if they're just working to get there. I'm grateful to be anywhere near this industry just for the pure excitement it brings and the creativity you see coming out of people. It's enriching. It's completely inspiring. And you seem to be perpetually excited by the task at hand. You are always excited about the new thing and grateful for the experience. And I gotta give you props, man. It's really good to see that shit. It really is.
You're very kind.
You're welcome. Sorry, I had to take a sip of my coffee. That was a very long sentence, and I needed to up myself back
yeah,
up.
God, I bored myself to fucking sleep. I don't.
I know. I'm really getting tired of complimenting you, man. Shit, for real.
Okay. I'll actually respond to what you said.
Yeah,
it's that's very kind, and I really do appreciate that, and it means the con is working. no, yeah, it's funny. I've kind of had like a real sort of actually come up into this actually quarantine. I realized I've had an identity crisis a bit. I've always thought I was a millennial, and I'm actually cusp. So I am
like Gen Z millennials.
So yeah. I'm like right on the edge, which really makes sense in my like Gemini ass life. Like I just can't figure it out. But it's funny because I've heard you say it about like young people, and like it's I actually think that it's actually kind of like, especially with like on TikTok, it's like actually inspiring that maybe there's a lack of understanding the steps, but from an outside perspective, but it's actually like to me is so much more inspiring of like the tenacity to be like, well, fuck that. There doesn't have to be steps. Like, do you know what I mean? Like there's some sort of like really cool democratization of like success, quote unquote, or honestly, genuinely even wealth. Like the fact that people can just make money off of just authentically providing themselves in that way. Like, that's obviously very like TikTok specific, but like it's the best way for me to describe like what I see at a younger people and considering myself half one of them and half not. Where it's like, I actually really like admire that, and in some ways need a dose of that because I'm a little step heavy, and like it, sometimes it, especially now the way like my life has gone thus far. I do appreciate what you're saying, I really mean that. Like it, I feel very
well. I don't want it to get twisted either, because I first of all, let me echo what you're saying. I think that the Gen Z, that generation is like admirable as hell, especially when it came to this last election and getting the voice out and getting the vote out. And like, that's not my generation. I did not see that in my generation. I'm only a little bit older than you. What, like maybe how old are you? 25? 25. So I'm like 9 years older than you. And that's not that big of an age gap when you're just talking about the generation and how you were raised. I didn't have any of this love yourself, self-care, kind of mentality, and that is what's really inspiring. And I think that confidence that people are able to give themselves is what makes them be like, well, of course I'm fucking in a movie. Why wouldn't I be? I've always said I was going to be in fucking movies. Here I am. As opposed to, you know, it's not to say that they're not grateful, but there's an overconfident attitude. Sometimes it comes off as cocky, not confident. And when I look at you, I look at confidence and gratefulness. So
I love you. But I agree. But I do think, I wonder sometimes, like, especially this is like where you're a millennial, right? And me too. And like, like I said, me too. I have a personality crisis. but that's the thing. Like, I feel like sometimes it's sort of like thinking in the binary too. It's like, there is a red pill and a blue, and like I'm also at marveled, and I marvel at people's ability to here's a great story, and it's just be quick of like, this is a different way of thinking. One of my co-stars on Little Voice, his name's Kevin. Mm-hmm. He plays the lead character, Bess's brother, and and Kevin is mixed ability and does not shy away from it. He doesn't try to present as typically functioning to people, and like, and is just genuinely such good energy, and like, and genuinely in a lot of ways was like the most professional person on the set and all these things, like was just absolutely knocking out of the park. And my boss lovingly once told me about his audition, and where this is where I actually marvel at this sort of thinking is like, I feel like we have these neuroses, or we've been taught to, we have this confidence crisis because we've been told like, hey kid, be whatever you want, be an astronaut. And then the recession happened, and then everyone, generational thinking, or that being a benchmark, people were like, never mind. That's a confidence crisis, is like at some point you believed in yourself and you don't. And this guy Kevin, who was amazing and was in for his audition, like, and they were really struggling to find someone, And he walks in and he does his audition, and they went, thank you so much, Kevin. You were so great. And he looks at him and he goes, huh, I was, wasn't I? And and that was the moment they gave it to him. They went, that's him.
That's
if I walked in there and someone said to me, I'd be like, oh, no, you don't have to, I was shit. You don't have to care. You can spit on me. I don't care.
I love like, that. Yeah. I'm serving you. That's what the usual mentality right, well,
that's
is.
That's why I wonder. It's I just love sort of your- like a, it's actually more about like rewiring the circuitry. It's like we've been taught to like sit around and accept, which I think is a really great position to be in. It's a sort, that is a sort of like, it just depends on who you're trying to accept it from. Like, I think young people are like, yeah. I'm not going to sit around and wait for the gatekeepers to give me it, but I am going to accept that there is a, I think there's something deeply spiritual about it of like the confidence in themselves comes from like a greater understanding that like they've been provided a lot. Whereas we watched the fall of civilization happen a lot of ways or where it started or where it started yep. becoming actually yep. not where it started at all, but where it started becoming enlightened to us. They were born into it. They were like, oh my God, the world is just terrible. It's always been terrible. And yeah. Only way out of it is if we just genuinely just feel good as hell. Like that is.
Yeah.
And to me, that's so cool. And so like, I don't have that. And I'm.
I feel the same way. I get jealous of people, and they're by and large younger people who just have this, this knack for being okay with themselves, because they can't change that. That's who they are. They're beautiful in their body. They're beautiful in their gifts, that whatever their gifts are that they were given and born with. It's like, I never felt good enough. And you know, most people in show business and you'd find that the common adhesive that kind of connects a lot of us together is that there's a whole loud underlying bout of insecurities. And these people, instead of hiding their insecurities and overcompensating, a lot of these younger people are wearing the insecurities right. outward, and it makes them seem so much more confident in who they are. And I fucking love that
it's,
shit.
It's like,
I
a,
love
it's like
that.
A drug to watch it too, because it's like, because it's just so it's so to us is so inexplicable. I said to us because like I am of this split mind where I'm like, it's funny because I watch it, and I'm like, I'm supposed to have some of that, and I just don't. But like, but it because it's kind of like. Do you watch Pen 15? Oh my God,
I love
so
that
good.
Show.
But like, it explains that so experience good. Of like, you know, every kid has been dealing with the exact same emotions since the world began. But it's wild and so thrilling to watch the young people now have the same emotions that we all have had and just instead just be like, fuck it, I'm cute. And then like start twerking like crazy in a video. And you're like, and you're like, what? But my parents would have grounded me, and I would have been the pariah of school, and like,
right.
And like, it's just wild to watch people just genuinely feel good. It's so cool.
Well, I get a lot of that. This is so weird. Like you brought up Pen 15, but every time I watch the show Big Mouth, you see that cartoon on Netflix. Every time I watch it, I go, these are all the things that like we all knew. Everybody knows this, but no one fucking talked about it like this. And now it's like cool to be going through weird stages in your life. Like I think that when teenagers watch that show, it's going to make them go to school the next day and be like, yeah, man. So I popped a zit on my ass. Oh, you did too? Cool. Everybody's invited to the circle jerk. Like it's a very, very strange.
My
acceptance
Lord.
Of what it's like to be a teen and be insecure.
It's like, I think about like Spring Awakening, right? I've been thinking about that actually. Yeah. My school college is doing it this weekend. When my friend Steven Sater was writing the show and was using that play, that play was essentially the critique of it was that that kids have been feeling the same way forever, but as adults, every time you get to being adulthood is the empire. It's like, it is bad. It is the Sith. It's like, once you get there, you realize you've learned all these things and you still make the same mistake of being like, I'm not going to give those things to my children. And that's where this is so cool with like things like Big Mouth, not to like grandstand it that much, but the show is things like that are very powerful because kids are like,
I agree.
Yeah, of course. I do feel that way.
Yeah.
And Jesus, thank God someone else feels that way too. And is supporting it. In culture, like that's different than we were growing up. And like, I mean, they were calling Britney Spears like the demagogue of modern life. They were like, "You're ruining little girls," and she was like, "I'm not going to take that."
Yeah, bye.
She, like, it's like that. Honestly, she had it. She knew. All it's like,
yeah,
people like that, like forever, have been told like, "You're sexualizing all this stuff," and they were like, "Yeah, but we all feel those things from day dot." Like, and it's and yeah. The reason why real tragedy happens is you hide it.
I've never heard the expression day dot. Is that like the start of the line? Is the dot? Is that what
I've outed my? It's a. I just love the term so much. I watch Love Island religiously, every franchise, and have an Australian version, and they would always be like, "They don't like." Oh, it was a terrible Australian accent, but they like they would always say,
"They don't, eh? Down under." Oh, it's back in the day. Don't.
No.
This was the day that Colton never got hired for anything ever again.
Oh, anything? Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're like, oh, God.
Anything. That accent in itself just ruined your chances.
No
of anything.
Taste. Sorry, no, dude. Yeah, no. Sorry. They're like, Jesus, we now know. We know better now. No, but they always said day dot. And I just, and it took me like 40 episodes. I was like, what are they saying? And I finally found it out. And I was like, I love that expression.
I do too. That's great. That's a really. I'm going to start using that now. I steal all of my cool colloquialisms from you or people in your cusp generation. Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Because I was the first person to say to you, "Try the veal."
No, I know, and I use it completely out of context and incorrectly, like all the time. Every time I'm checking out of the grocery store, they're like, "How was your day?" I'm like, "Try the veal," and they're like, "Sir, put your pants back on and get out of the store, please." That would be such a fun like mini series of like 5-second videos is just a guy using a catchphrase completely wrong within the context he's using it. Like at a bakery, you're trying to order a cake and you tell the baker, "Try the veal." I've said this on the last couple things that you and I have done, like on this kind of setting where people might be listening. I have said, because I'm as if you don't know, I love telling people I am writing The Karate Kid for Broadway. And Colton is a little hell-bent, and I'm also pursuing this in a very realistic way. So maybe we'll drum up some interest from fans and listeners to sign petitions or whatever it takes. Colton Ryan should play Johnny Lawrence in Karate Kid on Broadway. That's a no-brainer to me. Whoa. And I know you might be joking when you say this. But I really...
I am genuinely serious every time I tell you that. It is funny that...
And I tell my producers every time, and they love you.
It is so funny that you and I joke so often that we're genuinely trying, we're on opposite ends of the fence saying the exact same thing.
And we never know if what we're saying is serious
every
because
time.
We're always...
Next time, I'm like, "I was serious." And you're like, yeah, I know. Real serious.
So you're saying it here for just to cement this idea in my brain while you're here on my podcast, you really want the role of Johnny Lawrence in
I'm going to just say yes, so we clear that up. But I also want to be clear about the level of yes, is that when we did the premiere of the album, I genuinely made a fool of myself by finding an old karate like head wrap that I used to have and wore it for the majority of that live broadcast. Do you think I do that for fun?
I mean, what did you hear what you just asked? Of course, I think you would just do that for fun. If you just said, "I went and found one of these things to wear during a broadcast for a completely different thing we were promoting." Do you think I just did that for fun? Of fucking course I do.
I got like bit by like 10 spiders trying to find that in my mom's attic. I knew it was there. And I was like, oh God.
Oh my God.
The splinters.
Well, everybody at Gorgeous Entertainment, Kimiko, make sure that you're listening because Colton Ryan is our Johnny Lawrence. I will say it here. I have such confidence that you will get this role. I really do. Why wouldn't we give it to you?
I'm going to get it, but I'm going to lose it in the contract negotiation. That's for sure.
Yeah, we can't afford it.
Now you've just overplayed your hand, and now I know where I can start.
Okay, that's true. What's your asking price? Let me see if I can start.
It's not the price. I get star dressing room. This is my lawyer right here.
Yeah, that's your owl again. Archimedes, he can't be a messenger owl and your lawyer as well. He just can't.
Try the veal.
Dude, I love the idea of try the veal being like the hottest catchphrase. Let's make that a thing on TikTok.
Call Netflix.
A comedian whose whole thing is like he'll go on a tangent and then at the very end he just goes, "So I says you should try the veal."
I love that he says "I says" twice because he's riding the they're already laughing so hard. He's like, I says
so I tells him you should try the veal.
Whoa!
Colton, I think this is a better time than any to wrap this fucker up.
I think it is best for your future for us to wrap this up at this point.
We have at least 2.5 good minutes of usable material here, and I'll edit this down to the world's shortest podcast. I am so proud of you, my brother, and I'm always endlessly going to be a big supporter of yours. But more importantly, your friendship means the world to me, and that we get to pal around like this and continue to collaborate on other endeavors. It's just a dream. You are a dream.
We should start a band.
And then you know what I'll say? You should try the veal. All right, Colton, I love you very much. I can't thank you enough for taking the time and chatting with me. And this was a lot of fun. You're always a lot of fun.
I love you.
Love you too, dude. Thanks so much.
I love you.
Bye.
I love you.
Love you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Now We're Talking with me, Drew Gasparini. Now We're Talking is a proud member of the Broadway Podcast Network. You can find out more about me and this podcast at bpn.fm/NowWe'reTalking or on Instagram at Drew Gasparini. Hey, a special thanks to our guest Colton the Wizard and to you listeners. Say, make sure to subscribe and rate this podcast wherever you stream your podcasts and keep tuning in for more amazing guests. So what's the most embarrassing thing that's happened to you lately? Mine was shouting Dr. Fauci's name during sex with myself. All right, goodbye, everybody.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.